Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
When I was in junior high, I met a girl named Sandra. Sandra joined our school in the middle of the term. She was an awfully quiet and shy girl. She used to sit in the last bench of the class, hiding her face behind notebooks. I kind of felt bad for her, so one day I decided to interact with her. I went to her table during lunch, as she was eating alone.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows that more projects mean more tools. For a limited time, new and existing MyLowe's Rewards credit card members can get 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more, in-store and online. Don't wait to get the things you need. Get special financing today. Lowe's. We help. You save. Now through August 27th, choose 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more. Offer subject to credit approval and cannot be combined. Minimum monthly payments required. See store or Lowe's.com for details.
I said in a polite voice,
"Hi, I'm Riley. Can I join you?"
She was stunned to see someone finally talking to her in school. She looked at me with her tired eyes and said,
Sure. Go ahead and sit down.
The more I talked to her, the more I realized she was just any other normal, cheerful girl. But she would sometimes get lost in her own thoughts. We eventually became friends, and we often hung out together in school. One day, Sandra came to our school with puffy, sleepless eyes. She was looking very sick, and I asked her,
"Hey, are you okay?"
I saw tears roll down her eyes. She didn't tell me what was wrong, but she just said,
"Things aren't very good at my house. I have to look after my mom, which is why I'm so tired."
After I got home that day, I told my mom about Sandra. My mom appreciated me being a friend to her in her difficult times. Later, I invited Sandra to my birthday party. It was more of a pool-themed birthday party with some of my other friends. Everyone was having a good time, until a friend of mine named Matthew got up on our high pool platform to jump. As soon as he got up, he called for all of our attention. Suddenly, my eyes went to Sandra, and I saw her face turning pale. The moment Matthew jumped in the pool, we all heard a loud screaming voice. Everyone turned to look, and we saw Sandra screaming and then fainting on the ground. My parents called her home phone, but no one picked up. After lying in bed for about 10 to 15 minutes, Sandra finally opened her eyes. She started to apologize for her unusual behavior, though we were only worried about her health in that moment. I told her it was absolutely fine, and then I asked how she was feeling, to which she replied,
"I better go home. My mom must be worried."
My father then replied,
"Yeah, we tried to call your house, but no one picked up."
Sandra looked at us with an even more embarrassing face and said,
Maybe she's sleeping. I better go home now."
I called out to her,
"Wait for my dad and I. We'll drop you off."
But before I could finish, she quickly took her bag and bolted out of our house. We all felt really weird about her behavior that day. My parents told me to call her back and check how she was doing. I called her 3 times that night, but she didn't pick up once. She didn't come to school for the next 3 days. During lunch, Matthew said,
"I always felt there was something wrong with that girl. I don't know why you would want to be her friend, Riley."
I felt bad hearing a comment like that. I decided to call her back that night. After I came home, I called her again. This time she picked up my call. I said in an exciting voice,
"Sandra, where are you? Why aren't you coming to school? Is everything all right?"
She replied in a calm voice,
"Yeah, I'm doing fine. I just stayed back home to take care of my mother. It might take a few more days for me to come back to school, you know."
I realized she was in a tough situation, so I said,
"Yeah, I understand that. Listen, I was thinking I could bring you the class assignments myself. I was thinking I could stay over so that I could help you regarding the studies."
I knew she badly needed a friend, but was too scared to ask for help, so I volunteered. I was waiting for a reply because she was hesitating. Sandra said,
You want to stay at my house? Riley, I would really appreciate your help right now, but...
She was cut off. Someone suddenly grabbed the phone from her, and a squeaky female voice took over the call.
Hi, it's me, Sandra's mother, Lucy Cooper. Sandra spoke to me about you. You're such a sweet girl, Riley. I would love to have you over this Saturday at our house. Do I need to talk to your parents?
Everything happened so fast, I could barely figure things out. I said in an awkward tone.
No, it's fine. I'll be there on Saturday, Mrs. Cooper. Thank you.
She replied in the same squeaky voice.
We'll be waiting for you, Riley.
And disconnected the phone before I could speak to Sandra. I told my mom that I had been invited to a sleepover at Sandra's house, and that she needed help with her homework and also a friend in a tough situation. My mom agreed to let me go, but she told me to take her cell phone. She was probably just worried about leaving her daughter completely alone with a sensitive little girl and her ill mother. But I couldn't stop thinking about one thing. If Sandra's mother was so ill, how did she sound so fine over the phone? Anyways, I packed my bag on Saturday morning. My dad decided to drive me to Sandra's house. After driving for 20 minutes max, we reached in front of the tall apartment. My father honked the car horn twice, and I saw Sandra coming out of the gate. She smiled at me and greeted me. I smiled back at her, and then she turned towards my dad and said,
Would you like to come upstairs, Mr. Miller?
My dad smiled and replied,
No thanks, Sandra. I have to leave for some important work. Bye, Riley, and be good. Take care, Sandra.
My dad got into the car and drove away. Sandra showed me the way, and we started to go upstairs. She said,
This is an old apartment, hence the elevator often gets out of order. There are some issues regarding maintenance.
The stairway did look old, and the apartment was extremely quiet. I realized very few people live here. Sandra's apartment was on the fourth floor, and by the time we reached the apartment, I was panting like a dog. I sat down on the couch in the living room. Sandra's mom, Mrs. Cooper, came from the kitchen with lemonade. She was a thin, bony-looking lady. Even though her voice sounded lively over the phone, her face looked extremely pale. Her eyes looked tired, and there were streaks of white hair showing a sign of premature aging. I smiled awkwardly and said,
Thank you for having me, Mrs. Cooper.
She smiled really big and said,
Sandra hardly brings any of her friends home. Maybe she's embarrassed by me.
And then looked at Sandra with her big smile. And Sandra said,
Don't say that, Mom. Among the other school kids, Riley is the only one nice to me.
One thing I noticed about Mrs. Cooper is that her eyes kept strolling here and there, as if she was looking for someone.
Mom, what's for dinner?
Sandra then said. Mrs. Cooper suddenly came back to her senses and replied,
I'm making a special chicken pasta for you. Sandra, take Riley to your room. I'll call you when dinner's ready.
Sandra then took me to her room. On the way to her room, I saw another room on the left, but that room was locked. I thought to ask whose room it was, but I held back my unnecessary curiosity. Sandra and I sat on our bed, and we started to talk. I told her what was happening around school. We then discussed our assignments and had a good time. She was laughing and smiling. I was talking to her, when suddenly my eyes went to the half-shut door of the room and my stomach dropped. I saw a pair of creepy, wide eyes watching me. The stare was so still that it reminded me of a dead person's eyes. Sandra followed my eyes and said in an awkward voice,
What is it, Mom?
Mrs. Cooper then walked inside the room. She then said in a low voice,
Dinner is ready, girls. I came to tell you that.
After she left the room, Sandra looked at me and said,
Excuse my mom's behavior. Her mental state is not that well. She means no harm, Riley.
I didn't say anything, just smiled back at her uncomfortably. The way her mom was watching me was really creepy. Anyway, we finished our dinner, and I thanked Mrs. Cooper for the delicious meal. She then said,
It was my pleasure having a sweet girl like you at our house. You know, Sandra's older sister Samantha was just like you, always looking after her little sister. Until one day.
She then got lost in her own thoughts. Sandra immediately said,
Let's go to sleep now. Mom, you should go to sleep too. You need a rest.
Mrs. Cooper smiled and went to her room. She didn't even finish what she was eating. I, on the other hand, was shocked to hear Sandra have a sister. I arranged my sleeping bag and finally asked her,
You didn't tell me you have a sister?
A sense of surprise and discomfort lit up Sandra's face. She replied in a hesitant voice,
Yeah, but she doesn't live with us anymore. Thanks for coming and helping me with my assignments today, Riley. I will join the school very soon.
I realized she was not willing to talk about her sister, so I just went to sleep. Fast forward to around 2:30 a.m., and I woke up thirsty. There was no water in the room, so I went to the kitchen. The house was in complete darkness. The moonlight coming from the windows helped me make my way. I drank my glass of water, but as soon as I turned back, I saw a figure standing in the main door of the apartment. At first I was going to scream, thinking someone broke in. Then I noticed the eyes and realized it was Sandra's mom. She was standing with that same lifeless stare and watching me. I said,
Mrs. Cooper, you almost scared me. Why are you up so late? Is everything all right?
He smiled and said,
I couldn't sleep, so I thought I'd go get some fresh air. You want to join me?
At that point, I was actually a guest in her house, so out of gratitude, I couldn't say no to her. Also, I thought instead of waking up Sandra, I could take care of Mrs. Cooper for a while. I agreed to accompany her. We came out of the apartment. It was a warm summer night. She then said in a whispering voice,
come with me.
And started to walk upstairs. I followed her, and we came to the fifth floor balcony. The wind was rushing, the sky was full of stars, and the moon stood right in front of my eyes. Mrs. Cooper stood near the balcony and breathed heavily. I said in a hesitant voice,
So do you come here often, Mrs. Cooper?
Mrs. Cooper didn't reply. She kept staring at the bottom of the apartment. She was literally too close to the edge, which freaked me out. I said nervously,
It's getting late now. Let's go back, Mrs. Cooper. Sandra will get worried if she wakes up and sees we are gone.
Mrs. Cooper didn't move, and she didn't say anything. She just kept staring at the bottom of the apartment. All of a sudden, she looked at me with her creepy wide eyes and said,
jump.
I was obviously shocked. I replied,
Sorry, what?
She then grabbed my hand and repeated herself. Out of fear of this sudden violence in her behavior, I started to scream.
Mrs. Cooper, what are you doing? Let me go.
She kept screaming in the same voice.
Jump. I said jump. Samantha didn't hesitate to jump. Then why are you so afraid?
My scream woke up the tenants living on the fifth floor. They rushed towards us, and Sandra came running upstairs crying.
Mom, Samantha's dead. Why can't you accept that?
Mrs. Cooper fainted onto the floor, after screaming for one last time. I called my parents instantly, and they took me home that night. My father arranged an ambulance and admitted Mrs. Cooper to the hospital. Sandra is now living with us until her mom gets well. We came to know that 2 years back, her older sister Samantha jumped from the fifth floor balcony and committed suicide. Her mom couldn't take the shock and turned out to be delusional. If I'm being honest, I feel really bad for them. It was both sad and scary to see what the loss of a loved one did to their family. Richa picked up the phone. It was her best friend Emma. She said in an exciting voice,
when are you guys coming?
Emma replied from the other side,
I just called Simi. I think we'll get there by 8.
Richa was super excited. After all, they waited a long time for this sleepover. Her parents were out of town, hence she invited her two best friends to stay the night at her house. Richa even bought some beers and hid them under her bed last night. Upon hearing the girls were on their way, she took them out and put them in the freezer. They were gonna have some fun tonight. Richa started to arrange her bedroom. And after getting ready for their night party, Richa came to the living room and sat down on the couch. She waited for 10 or 15 minutes, and then finally the doorbell rang. As she opened the door, Simi and Emma saw her standing at the doorstep with joyful faces. Emma hugged Richa, and then she said,
let's get this party started.
The girls went inside and locked the door. It was really cold that night, so they started the fireplace. The thought of being all by themselves in an empty house gave them all an adrenaline rush. They started to drink some beer and put on some music on the speaker. The party was going well, and all three of them started to feel a little drunk. Suddenly, Emma said,
do you guys believe in ghosts?
To which Simi replied,
what are you talking about? There's no such thing as ghosts.
Richa nodded her head as if to agree, and Emma paused the music and sat near the fireplace. She kept looking at the fireplace for a few seconds and then said,
there's a way we can summon a ghost, you know. But I don't know if you guys are brave enough to do that.
And started to laugh mockingly. Both Simi and Richa felt a bit insulted by Emma's joke. Richa said in a firm voice,
of course we are brave enough. Let's do this.
Emma replied in a low voice,
have you heard of the ritual Bloody Mary?
Richa and Simi looked at each other with a blank face. Simi then said,
what's that?
Without taking her eyes from the burning flame of the woods inside the fire, Emma said in a spooky voice,
Bloody Mary is an urban legend. People say, if you stand in front of a mirror with a candle in your hand and say Bloody Mary 3 times, you'll see this horrible looking woman in the mirror smiling at you. You guys want to try it?
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Rachel got scared hearing the story, but she tried to put on a brave face in front of her friends. She didn't want them to think of her as a coward. Simi said,
"Yeah, let's do it. I'll go first, but I don't think anything's gonna happen."
Emma got up and switched the light in the living room. There was a big mirror on the wall in the living room. Rachel lit a candle and handed it to Simi. They were all a bit tense. The entire house was in the dark, with the only light coming from the candle in Simi's hand. The chilly wind going outside made the ambience even scarier. Simi stood in front of the mirror while Rachel and Emma stood right beside her. Emma said in a low voice,
"Now, say Bloody Mary 3 times if you dare."
Simi looked in the big oval mirror. She could see her tensed face and the back of the living room area in the mirror reflection. She paused for a few seconds and then said in a low voice,
"Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary."
As soon as she finished uttering those words, the big glass window in the living room banged open, making a loud noise. A gush of cold wind came from the room and put out the only light in the house, which was the candle in Simi's hand. And that's when they heard the spine-chilling scream of a woman. Emma rushed to the switch to turn on the lights. Rachel was standing with her hands covering her face in fear. Simi was seen sobbing, sitting on the floor. Emma said in a panicked voice,
"You guys hear that?"
All of their faces turned pale. Rachel responded in a terrified voice,
"Who was that? Who was that? Honestly, guys, is this a prank you're trying to pull on us?"
Simi got up and said,
"Did you guys see the mirror after I said her name?"
They all slowly peeked into the mirror, thinking they might see a woman's bloody face just as the legend says. But there was nothing. Nothing except the reflection. Emma laughed in relief and said,
"We might have just imagined the scream. I mean, this was just a story. Honestly, I was just trying to scare you guys. I knew this wasn't real."
But before she could finish her words, Richa screamed in terror and Simi fainted on the floor. Confused with the reaction, Emma looked to Richa and saw her white, bloodless face staring at her. Emma realized Richa was looking behind her. She slowly turned back, and what she saw made her heart drop to her stomach. The corridor towards the main door lied behind her, and at the end of the corridor she saw a woman. A woman with a terrifyingly bloody face was looking at them. Blood was dripping from her eyes and her nostrils. The woman was wearing a white sleeping gown. Her hands were filled with blood too. She had huge white eyes with a tiny black pupil dot inside them. The woman then smiled, horrifyingly. Her smile was spread from one ear to the other. She said in a demonic voice,
"You called for me. Now, here I am. I must take one of you. Who will it be?"
And started to laugh hysterically. Emma and Richa felt her laugh didn't even belong to this world. She was utter evil, from outside and inside. They both screamed in fear and started to run upstairs. Richa ran to her room and Emma followed her. But as soon as they got inside, they locked the door. They heard a loud bang on the door, as if the woman was going to break it down. Rachel broke down in tears, sitting in the corner. Emma couldn't keep her mind straight, and out of fear, she jumped from her bedroom window to get out. The next morning, cops were flooding all over Rich's house, all while she sat with her parents and sobbed continuously. Simi was admitted into the hospital for being unconscious for over 24 hours. Emma hurt her back and broke her leg after jumping onto the hard ground. And to this day, none of them know if what they saw that night was the ghost of Bloody Mary or something just made up in their drunken imagination. The content of this story can be disturbing to some people. This is a true incident that ruined my life, and I still go to therapy for to get over the trauma. When I was 10 years old, I moved into a new house with my mom and dad. This house was in a beautiful neighborhood. My dad took a teaching job at a high school in that area. We were excited about a fresh start. I actually even joined the same school where my dad became a new history teacher. On the first day of school, I was shy and nervous, but the kids in my class behaved nicely to me. There was where I met Sally. Sally was a cheerful girl. She had a lot of friends. She introduced me to everyone in the class, and soon enough I got mixed with the kids of the town. Sally and I often hung out together. One day, after school, I was coming home with my dad when I saw Sally getting into our principal Mr. Sherman's car. After asking my dad, I came to know Mr. Sherman was Sally's stepfather. I honestly felt pretty impressed that even after being the daughter of a principal, Sally was still so down to earth. Days passed and our friendship grew stronger. We started to share secrets. And one day, Sally and I were walking down the school corridor when a boy named Rogan accidentally bumped into her. Rogan immediately got up and started to apologize, but just then Sally slapped him and started to scream. I was shocked. I didn't think she would react like that. The teachers ran towards us and took her away. Later that day, Sally and I got called to the principal's office. As we entered, we saw Mr. Sherman sitting on his recliner while Rogan sat opposite of him. I noticed Rogan's cheek. It was still red. Rogan's mom and my dad were standing in the corner looking at us. Mr. Sherman stared at me and said,
"Julia, you were the only one who was standing close to both Sally and Rogan. Can you please tell me exactly what happened there?"
Before I could start speaking, Sally said in a screaming voice,
"He did it intentionally."
Mr. Sherman scolded her in a loud voice, saying,
"You will not say a single word until you are asked to. Sit down and be quiet if you don't want to be suspended."
Sally sat down and started to sob silently. I said in a shaking voice,
We were walking, and Rogan slipped accidentally, then bumped into Sally. But he was standing behind her, so there's no way she could have seen him coming."
Rogan's mom spoke in a soft voice,
"Mr. Sherman, don't be so hard on your kid. It was just an accident. Sally has always been a really nice girl."
Mr. Sherman looked at Sally and said in a cold voice,
"Apologies to Rogan, now. And if you ever react this way again, I will suspend you for a month."
Sally apologized to Rogan, then left the principal's room in tears. Rogan and I both felt bad for her. Sally didn't talk to anyone for the entire day, and left for home without even saying goodbye to me. I thought she got angry at me for not supporting her in the morning. After coming home, I even called her. Instead of Sally, her mom picked up the phone this time.
"Hello? Who is this?"
she said. I replied,
"Mrs. Sherman, can I talk to Sally? I'm her friend Julia."
Mrs. Sherman replied in an awkward voice,
"I'm sorry, dear, but Sally's not in the mood to talk to anyone today. I'm sure she'll meet you tomorrow at school."
At that point, I was sure Sally was angry with me, and we were never going to be friends again. Next day at school, I was standing on the corridor waiting for Sally, and I saw her coming with Mr. Sherman. Mr. Sherman came to me with her and said,
"Sally's lucky to have a friend like you."
Then smiled and left towards his office. Sally stood beside me and said,
"I'm sorry for that mess, Julia. I hope we can be friends again."
A smile of joy lit my face. I went to go hug her, just when she took a few steps back. She awkwardly said,
I have a cold. You better maintain distance for your good."
And smiled. I noticed her the entire day, but not once did she cough or sneeze. Her behavior started to feel odd to me. After our classes, Sally and I both stood near the school exit waiting for our parents to take us home. Sally was looking different that day. I could tell from her face that something was bothering her. I asked in a worried voice,
"Sally, are you alright?"
Sally suddenly looked at me with wide eyes. She said hesitantly,
"Why? Why would you ask me that? I'm more than alright, Julia. I'm just tired."
I replied,
"If anything is bothering you, you can tell me."
Sally's face turned upset. I realized there was something she wasn't telling me. But before Sally could speak, I heard Mr. Sherman's voice behind me.
"Why don't you invite your friend over for a sleepover, Sally? She's such a caring and good friend to you."
Sally uncomfortably smiled and said,
"Yeah, you should come someday for a sleepover. I have lots of toys, and we can have fun together."
Mr. Sherman then said,
"Why someday, Julia? Please, come on tomorrow and spend the night with us. I'm sure Sally will be glad to have you."
My dad smiled, and I nodded to join her for the sleepover. My mom baked a cake to give to the Shermans. She took me to their house, and they had a beautiful house. Sally's room was honestly amazing. Mrs. Sherman and my mom chatted for some time. She then kissed me goodnight and left. After a delicious dinner, Sally and I sat down to watch some TV in the living room. One thing that felt unusual to me was that Sally's behavior turned robotic in front of Mr. Sherman. I could tell from her face she was always nervous around him. Now, Mr. Sherman was always a bit strict, and also it was natural to be a bit distanced from your stepfather. So, I never said anything regarding this to Sally. Around 9 p.m, Mr. Sherman came to us and said,
"Okay, girls, enough TV for today. It's time to go to bed now."
We went to Sally's room. I got inside and locked the door. But instantly, Mr. Sherman came rushing and started banging on the door.
Open, open the door.
I got extremely shocked and opened the door immediately. Mr. Sherman said in an annoying voice,
"We don't lock doors in this house, Julia. Specifically, Sally has a habit of going to the washroom at midnight. Also, in case of any emergency, it's better to keep the rooms unlocked. Good night now."
He walked away. I said in a relieved voice,
"Geez, your father is strict, Sally."
She said in an upset voice,
"My stepfather. My dad loved me a lot."
She then lied on her bed. I could easily sense the disturbance in this house, but there was nothing I could do. I went to lie down, and that was when Sally said something really weird.
"Julia, would you mind sleeping on the door side of the bed? I want to sleep near the window."
I replied,
"Yeah, sure."
We talked for a few minutes more, and gradually fell asleep. I don't recall what time it was, but suddenly a weird sensation woke me up. I felt something was tickling my feet. The tickle was very gentle. It took time to register. But as I opened my eyes, I saw a dark figure standing right next to me. It was a man with wide, creepy eyes. The man then started to move his hand up my leg, and I realized it was not a dream at all. My eyes adjusted to the darkness, and the pale moonlight touched the man's face as he leaned over me. It was none other than Mr. Sherman. I screamed from the top of my lungs, and Mr. Sherman stepped back in response. He said in a scared voice,
"Julia, this is Sally's side of the bed. Why are you..."
But before he could say anything further, Sally's mom rushed into our room. She switched on the light and got shocked. I was sitting on the bed with a terrified face, and Sally got up crying out loud. Mrs. Sherman said in a panicked voice,
"What the hell is going on here?"
Mr. Sherman said in a fumbled voice,
"I was just checking if the girls were sleeping."
But I now understood how he victimized Sally, and why she was so terrified of someone's touch. Sally sobbed and told everything to her mom. Mrs. Sherman couldn't believe her ears. Mr. Sherman tried to escape, but she grabbed the table lamp nearby and threw it at his head. Mr. Sherman fainted on the floor as blood rushed down from his head. The cops were called, and my mom and dad came. Mr. Sherman was taken into custody for being a child molester. I honestly felt really bad for Sally.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
She had to go through that trauma at such a young age. I now realize why that night Sally told me to swap sides. It was nothing but a cry for help.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.